And I was talking to Benji Rodriguez. We had a really good talk. His brother left and his other relative left, and we got to talk a little bit about some spiritual things that were important, and I appreciated that opportunity. He mentioned that he would be watching a boxing match between Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. And that's something I'd thought about. That would be a great boxing match because both those men are undefeated. Crawford, I think, was about 38-0, and Spence somewhere around 28-0 or 29-0, but both highly, highly skilled boxers. And so I said, yeah, I'll try to make it over. I'll try to get there and watch that, and got there and got to watch that particular boxing match between Terrence Crawford and Errol Spence. And I've been a Crawford fan. He's, to me, probably the best, or certainly one of the best, but I would say the best at this time, pound-for-pound boxer in the world at the welterweight level. And he put on a boxing clinic. Benji was right. He said, I believe Crawford will win because he's a lateral fighter. He can fight from any angle, and he just has tremendous ability to do that. And Errol Spence comes more straightforward, and that is exactly what happened. Crawford also had very fast hands, extremely fast hands, and he could counterpunch. So when he sees a punch coming, he can avoid it and then sting back. And he did actually knock Spence down three times, and then there was a technical knockout in the ninth round, Crawford winning that match. And it was quite something. He gave glory to God for his skill, which we should do. But let me just say this morning that a successful boxer doesn't win a boxing match usually with one punch. I mean, it happens, but usually it's not with one punch. There needs to be the ability to punch in combinations and to punch effectively. And I want to turn that around and say that Satan is a skilled boxer. He knows how to combination punch you. I have seen boxers, and it happened with Errol Spence. He was getting hit so much cumulatively over time, it took its toll on him to where he couldn't keep his head anymore, and the referee had to step in and stop it and say, no more, he's taken too many blows, you know. And well, he should have done that to protect Errol Spence. But I'm saying that you and I, if we are saved and serving Jesus Christ, will experience Satan hitting us with combinations of punches. And these punches are thrown in combinations, hooks, jabs, right, lefts, uppercuts. All of them are effective in their place. They're thrown with combinations in order to knock you down. Yea, in order to knock you out of the spiritual war and get you to quit and give up. I remember boxing a guy one time, a big guy, he was about 6'1". I was hitting him with combination punches. And finally, he turned his back to me. And you're not supposed to do that in boxing. You don't turn your back. So I just went around the back and did that. But that ended that fight. But you've got to stay in the fight. You've got to face the foe. And the Bible says, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Now, you know, the guard in boxing are our hands, but in our faith, our guard is the shield of faith. And when the devil is combination hitting us with all these missiles and punches, you know, you might feel overwhelmed, and your faith in God, that God is there, that God is in control, will help you to keep your head. And that's the name of my message this morning. Keep your head when you are combination punched. And don't have a defeatist attitude. And so stand firm in your faith. Now, I'd like you to turn to James 1, because that's what the message is from, James 1. And I want to talk to you about how to keep your head when you're combination punched. And there's three things I want to say from James 1. Number one, by putting it in the category of joy. In other words, when Satan is hitting you with a left and a right and a jab, and you're getting hit with troubles, you're getting hit with trials, you're getting hit with things that might make you doubt that God cares, put that in the category of joy. And you say, well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, look at verse number 2 of James 1. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Now, I think the first thing that you need to do here to count it as joy is to remember the word brethren. And that means that you're part of a brotherhood. That we're in a brotherhood that, if you are serving the Lord, other brothers and sisters in Christ are going through the same sort of punches that you're enduring out there in the world. Here's the way the Apostle Peter put it. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Then it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. A lot of times I'll talk to a pastor and he'll be going through the same things that I've been going through. And we have brothers and sisters that we might not have known very long, but if they're serving the same Lord Jesus, they're going to go through some of the same things that you go through. So we are not alone. That's why, by the way, you know, you come together with brothers and sisters and family members and you have family times, and that's great. But there's nothing more important than the family of God getting together. Why? Because we're taking punches out there in the world. You ever notice a boxer has to come back to the corner? He has to meet with the coaches at the corner and get coaching and encouragement and help. And so remember that when you get hit by the devil and by the world out there, that you have the opportunity to come back here and meet with the brotherhood, and you can get encouraged by the brotherhood. And you need to realize that you need to deny yourself and take up your cross to follow Jesus. That's what we must do in this world. And when you're hit by the world, you're reminded to do that. And so you must be prepared when duty calls you to suffer the loss, maybe of the favor of your friends, the favor of your coworkers at work when they're giving you a hard time, the favor even of family members. Listen, don't cave into that pressure. Don't drop your guard and get knocked out. You stay up there and you stand firm in what you believe. Don't give up your belief because you're being pressured with combination punches. So remember the word brethren. Secondly, when putting this in the category of joy, look at the word count. And I'll read it again. It says, my brethren, count it all joy. That is not a word for it feels good to be hit. No, it doesn't feel good to be hit for your faith. It doesn't feel good when people attack your faith or attack others. I sometimes hear people attack my heroes, and they attack people, and they want to give me negative things, and they want to spread bad news about my heroes in the faith. That doesn't feel good. But you know what I do? When that happens, I treat it like 2 plus 2 equals 4, 4 plus 4 equals 8, 4 times 4 equals 16. It's a mathematical calculation. I put it in the category of joy. This thing, even though it doesn't feel good, God is going to give me deferred gratification. I'm going to get pleasure out of this thing. And so I say, I'm going to count this like a math term. I'm going to count it as joy. So happiness makes you feel good, right? Happiness, somebody has said, depends on the haps, what's happening. But joy is depending on Jesus Christ, on what you have in Jesus Christ. And so when the devil is hitting you, the world is hitting you, guess what? You are probably doing something right. You know, why did Errol Spence get in there with one of the greatest boxers in the world, one of the greatest boxers in history, Terrence Crawford? Because he was good. He was a great boxer. And you know what? The devil, if he's hitting you, it's because, you know, you're doing something for him. And so you need to go through that. Plus, you know, the devil hits you when you need to have your faith activated. And we'll talk about that. But what I want to say this morning is keep your head when your combination punched and put it in the category of joy. Realize, even though you don't understand how, that God is going to use this in your life to do something good for you. It doesn't feel good, but he's going to use it for good, and God's allowing it for good. So keep your head when your combination punched by putting it in the category of joy. It says, count it all joy. But I want to say another thing. Not only putting it in the category of joy by a mental mathematical calculation, but number two, by practicing patience while you're being punched with combination punches. Practicing patience. Have you ever heard of rope-a-dope? How many have heard of rope-a-dope? I know Sarge did. Rope-a-dope was something that Muhammad Ali did. Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, don't like the Muslim name, but anyway, he did it in a fight with a guy I really like, George Foreman. And George Foreman, I saw George Foreman annihilate a great fighter called Joe Frazier, literally annihilate him in the ring with powerful punches. His punches would go and the wind would blow, you know, it was so powerful. And nobody gave Muhammad Ali a chance, but they fought over in Kinshasa, Zaire. And what did Ali do? He did something called rope-a-dope. And what was that? Well, Foreman was a young boxer, and he would go along the ropes and put his guard up and just let Foreman hit him. But he absorbed the blows on his hands and elbows, and Foreman punched himself out. He was exhausted. And after that, Ali, though he lost all of those rounds, Ali went out there and it just kept going and going, and Foreman went down. And, you know, that is the second thing I want to say. When you're being combination punched by the world, by your flesh, by the devil, put it in the category of joy that God's going to do something good in my life through this. I'm getting punched for a reason. And practice patience while you're being punched. Now you say, well, what does it mean, patience? It says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Well, patience, the English word patience in our King James Bible from the majority text is a Greek word, patience, made up of two words, hupo and mene. Hupo means under, and mene means to stay or remain. And so this means that when you're being punched, stay in the will of God. Stay where you are. Do not be moved. Jesus is my Savior. I shall not be moved. I got here by doing what God said, and somebody's trying to move me away from God's word. I'm going to remain under pressure, and I'm going to keep my guard up and rope-a-dope, and I'm going to stay there. And that's what it means to have patience. Hupo, under pressure, mene, remain. And patience means to do that. Now, by the way, do you know that a piece of coal, if you put it under pressure and it stays under pressure for long enough time, one of the men tell me, what does it become? Yell it out. It becomes a diamond, right? After time. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3 that we're to be building lives on solid foundation. And what's that foundation? Other foundation can no man lay. Our foundation is that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He loved us. He came out of heaven with a purpose, and that is he was going to marry a bride. And to do that, he had to die and pay for the shame and the guilt of our sin so he could wash us. And with his blood, he washes us from our sin, and we put our faith in him, and that becomes the foundation of my life. Why am I going to heaven? Because I'm such a good boy? No, I'm a sinner. I put my faith in Jesus, and I know I'm saved. I've got a Bible reason. That's the foundation that I stand on. Boy, I'm glad this is firm. And I know that Jesus Christ will never fail. And you can know that too. Now, if you're trusting Jesus plus your baptism, Jesus plus your works, Jesus plus you going to church, or just you being good, you're going to go to hell. Because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of your sin is death, and you're going to go to hell. And so we have to have the right foundation. If you don't today, I'm speaking this word to you and saying, run to Jesus. Don't walk. Put your faith in him. But once you're saved, you have Jesus Christ as your foundation. That means all of your sin has been paid for by Jesus, and you now have the perfect record of Jesus, and God declares you're righteous. Now, that's your foundation. But what are we to build upon? Gold, silver, and precious stones. Gold, silver, precious stones. Well, a diamond is a precious stone. Amen? And so God will let you go through combination punches so that you can be patient and stay in the will of God and stay with your convictions and don't be pressured out of your convictions. And when you do that, you will become valuable. Do you hear me? The Bible says that David was 100 times more valuable than the normal Israelite. Why was that? Because he had patience. He had become not coal anymore, but a diamond for God. And you're a diamond in the rough, and God wants you to go through that pressure and to be combination punched. And so when I was 17 years of age in Muskegon, Michigan, I heard from my grandmother what I'm telling you, the good news about Jesus dying for our sins. And I believed and I was saved. I didn't get baptized until I was 19 in the same city, Muskegon, Michigan, at Calvary Baptist Church. I remember as a young Christian at 19 going to Wealthy Street Baptist Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And it had a pastor who was a great preacher by the name of Dr. David Otis Fuller. And he'd written a book about who wrote the King James Bible, and he defended the King James Bible. He said, which Bible? Only the King James Bible. The old King James is the word of God for the English-speaking people. It was a great book. He's a great preacher. I remember seeing that man. I remember him bringing a famous evangelist there, and he preached that week, and I remember I was into rock music and had my top 40 radio on my shoulder and all that, young Christian guy. And I gave up rock music. I gave it up that week. And I learned things. But the thing that amazed me is that evangelist and other men of God, how could they just stay with it? They didn't fold up. I would go down so quickly when the devil would hit me, when the world would hit me. I would get discouraged and go down. But these men just stayed firm. They were like a rock. And I marveled at these older men, and I thought, boy, I'd like to be like them. Now, what was I seeing in these men? I was seeing diamonds. I was seeing men that were very mature in their faith in the Lord. They were mature Christians. And I believe that maturity is spoken of in James 1:4. Look at verse 4. It says, but let patience have her perfect, that means complete work, that ye may be perfect or complete and entire, wanting nothing. You see, remember we said in point number one that when Satan is punching you, the world is punching you, God has a reason. You see, opposition precedes blessing. You might not feel good when you're going through these things, but put it in the category of joy. And what is the joy? God is building patience in your life. What does that patience do? It works what in your life? Spiritual maturity. It turns you into a rock like a diamond and a beautiful Christian person. And so that is the reason to count it joy. And so put it in the category of joy when you're combination punched and practice patience while you are being punched. And I remember early Scranton Revival Baptist Church. You know, I was here at the beginning of this church. You know, this church is over 52 years old, and I was here at the beginning. I came as a one-year-old, so I'm just kidding. But anyway, I was here at the beginning of this church, and I remember we would have combination punching from the devil. The devil was trying to knock this church out. And we had a group of young people. I was a young man at the time. And we had a group of young people. And do you know what happened? We had young Christians in this church. When the punches happened, everybody would fold up like a chair. They would just fold up and quit. The only person that would stand would be the pastor of the church. He stood firm because he had a degree of spiritual maturity. And, you know, I think of Christ when he got arrested, remember? And then they took him and they put him over to Pilate and they handed him over to crucify. You know what happened to all the 11 disciples that were real believers? They all ran. That's the way our early church used to be. Why did they run? They weren't patient. They weren't yet mature spiritually. They hadn't practiced patience. Listen, you're going through the things you're going through. You must endure these tribulations in order that you might get patience, in order that you might become a diamond, a strong, mature believer. I think of our church here right now. I think of the church in the 1970s and our church right now, and there's a big difference. I remember when we went through the sabbatical, pastor took that sabbatical in 2017, and the church was without a pastor for about 9 months. And I remember going through that time, and that was a time of getting hit. Our church was getting hit. But you know what? You know who stood like a rock? Our senior deacon, Joe Slobodnik. And he was able to be mature enough to stand during that time. And then he had younger deacons with him that helped him and worked with him, and he could count on them. And those younger deacons stood during that time. Why? They'd had enough combination punches and endured them patiently to stand. You see, don't run away when you're getting hit. I remember our church would get hit, and I remember a young preacher boy left the church. And I said, stay with me. I could take the punches here. This was back in the day, back in the 1980s. He ran away. He came back when everything was peaceful again. But since then, he's gone through his troubles and his trials. Now he's a preacher. He's a pastor. He was our youth pastor years ago. And I'm just trying to say to you that God wants you to learn patience by remaining under pressure and counting it joy at the same time, because God's going to build character in your life. I think of Brother Zukowski, our youth pastor. He's not here now. He's downstairs with the children's church, leading the children's church. There's a huge difference between this guy in 2017 and 2023. What did he learn? He's learned patience. He's grown. And I couldn't count on him in 2017 like I can count on him now, you see. I couldn't count on him to fly the 747, I call it, then as I could now, as with some of these other men. It's all a matter of, it's joyous because these things that you think are the worst things in your life now, they're meant to test your faith and also to build patience in your life. And God is going to make you, listen, a mature adult Christian, a mature person. And so you've got to go through these things, and you've got to take the punches in order to get to that point. So you say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying keep your head when you're combination punched. Realize when these punches are coming, though they don't feel good, no, God's got a purpose in this. Keep my guard up now. Keep my guard up until the devil punches himself out. Amen. You know what? You know, Donald Trump, I'm amazed at that guy. Think of all the punches he takes, all the corruption that Joe Biden has done, and all the stealing that's gone on here. And this guy just, they keep punching him. They keep indicting him. They keep arresting him. But he just keeps on taking those punches. You know what I'm trying to say to you? Keep that guard up until the devil punches himself out. Because remember, you can rope a dope that way. And remember that you could punch back then. You resist the devil. And how do you do it? You stand firm with the shield of faith up there. And when he's punched out and he backs up, then you come forward. And you can then punch the devil. And we've done that in this church. And so put it in the category of joy. Know what's going on. Keep your head. Don't be a Christian that just lives by your emotions. When I was a young Christian, I lived by my emotions. If I felt God's presence, I felt like I was saved and God was good. But if I didn't feel it, I thought, am I even saved? I would doubt. It was like a roller coaster of emotions. But I've learned, no, keep your head. Put it in the category of joy when your combination punched. And practice patience. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't give that ground up when the devil is trying to get you to go. And sometimes a boxer will get overwhelmed and he'll begin to retreat, and a guy can take him out that way. But stand your ground. All right, there's a third thing, though, I want you to see. Keep your head, putting it in the category of joy, practicing patience. But what's third? It says here, by your praying in faith for wisdom. When combination punches can come. Praying for wisdom. Let's look at this in verse number 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know one thing that really happens when you get combination punched by the devil and by the world? It increases your prayer life. When everything's going good, you might feel happy. Because everything's going good and you don't want to have negative things happen. But what happens when these things happen? You start praying for real. You really need God again. Amen? I had a Bible teacher called Wendell Kempton, Methodical Bible. He was teaching us how to study the Bible. But before he did that, every day, he, this great man of God, would give a devotional on David in the Psalms. And you know what he said? He said, David in the Psalms, when was he really close to God? When he was on the mountaintop, when everything was going great? He said, no, it was when he was in the valley, when he cried out to God, when he didn't feel good, he felt overwhelmed. And what happened? His faith that, you know, God has given to every one of us that are believers, you have this God-given faith. It's from the Lord Jesus. So you don't just believe in the Lord Jesus. You have the faith that's from the Lord Jesus in you. And when you go through these troubles, what happens? You can't trust people. You can't trust your circumstances. You can't trust your feelings. So what happens? Your faith lays hold and grabs hold of God. It grabs hold of the Word of God. I remember through some of the greatest afflictions in my life, the Word of God came alive. The Psalms came alive. I just read a psalm recently that I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Now, I read that, but it's one thing to read that now. It's another thing to read it when I was going through combination punches. That was so precious to me. I was believing to see the goodness of the Lord because I wasn't seeing anything but trouble. I wasn't seeing anything but horrible. But I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And it'll make the Word of God come alive. It will make your prayer life come alive. And you will pray to God for wisdom. What's wisdom? When you're going through being hit, combination punches, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? And you can sometimes just take it one day at a time. And you go through all of these things as a believer. And that's why God lets you go through these things. Now, I believe it was the Apostle James that wrote James, not the Lord's half-brother. And the Apostle James is talking in verse 5. And he says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. When you're going through trouble and trial, you say, Lord, is this chastening in my life? Have I done something wrong? Sometimes it is. Oh, Lord, are you just trying to build my faith? Well, help me know. Give me wisdom. Help me know how this applies to me. And Lord, what would you have me to do? And of course, you need to know the Word of God, and you do what the Word of God says. But when you're praying to God for that kind of wisdom and guidance, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven and tossed with the wind. Driven and tossed. And it says, let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So what's the opposite of praying to God in faith? It's wavering like the wave of the sea. Remember Peter when he got out of the boat? Jesus said, okay, come to me, Peter. And Peter got out of the boat and did what Jesus said, and he started walking by faith, and he was literally given the supernatural power at that time to walk on top of the Sea of Galilee. I remember going in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. I remember swimming in the Sea of Galilee, but I didn't walk on it, amen? Not on top. But Peter did. The Lord gave him the grace to walk on the water. And I haven't done that physically, but I've walked spiritually on heavy, deep waters, right? I've overcome them by faith. And so Peter, what was keeping him up? He was looking by faith at Jesus. Now, what's the opposite of that? Look at the winds and the waves that were around him. And when he did that, you remember what happened to Peter? What happened to Peter? He started to sink. And that's what this is saying here. Keep your eyes on Jesus when you're going through these troubles and you're being hit. Don't look at people. Don't look at your circumstances. Look at Jesus. Look at the one that died on the cross for you. Realize that he loves you. Realize that he's too good to be unkind. He's too wise to make any mistakes in your life. And say, Lord, make this happen for good in my life and help me to make the right decisions at this time. And a lot of times people make decisions like, well, I'm gonna run away. I'm gonna get out of here. This is too hot. You know, I can't take this. It's just too much. Well, that is not the wisdom of God. The wisdom of God is stay in the will of God and wait upon the Lord. And that is what you do that will cause you to stand and walk on the water. Now, it says that you're supposed to ask God for wisdom and then wait on the Lord for him to give you the answer. You know, a lot of times when I'm preaching, I know so much Bible. I've studied so much Bible. But when I'm preaching, do you know what? I'm asking God, give me the message that is needed for that morning message. Give me the one that's needed for the evening message. And give me, but you know what? That's, I need wisdom. What part of the Word of God do I preach? But now, when you're waiting on the Lord, you're not just standing there going, okay, God, just tell me. No, meantime, I'm studying the Word of God. I'm writing what's called sermon skeletons all the time. And I put them in a file called sermon skeletons. And then I put more meat on the bone. And I'm working on them. And I'm thinking about them. I still don't know the one that I'm going to preach for. But I'm working on all these different ones. And then when the time comes, God shows me, okay, that's the one. How does he show me? He just lays it on my heart. It becomes the one that I'm ready for. And so, and I believe God will give you wisdom. But as you're waiting on God, work for God. Keep on doing your Bible reading. Keep on going to church. Keep on winning souls and witnessing for Jesus Christ. Keep on helping out and doing what God wants you to do. Do what you can do right now that God wants you to do. And put God first in your life. By the way, the first thing you need to do is get saved. And when you get saved, what's the next thing? You need to get baptized and get into a local church. And don't keep God waiting. As you wait upon God and you're going through getting hit, you do the little things that you already know you should be doing, and you're going to become somebody that will mature and have more and more wisdom from God. And by the way, you'll be able to help other people out in their Christian life. And what a blessing that is. Don't be like Reuben. You know who I mean by Reuben, don't you? I mean the son of Jacob. He was the oldest son of Jacob, Reuben. And Reuben, the Bible says, had great opportunities. Reuben was a good-looking guy. Reuben had a strong personality. Reuben was somebody that could have been a leader and helped other people. But What did his dad, Jacob, prophesy about Reuben? He told about all his opportunities, and then he said this statement, but Reuben is unstable as water. And that's what the Bible says. When you're praying for God's guidance, don't look at the wind and the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Stay put in the will of God. Don't give up ground that you already have taken and let the devil take it. He wants to get you. Pray in faith for guidance and wisdom and wait on God until he gives it to you. And you know what? I've been 52 years at this, and I found out whenever I did that, it is joyous. It is pleasurable. You say, what gives you pleasure, Pastor? Having a church now where there are many men and women in this church that are mature enough to take the punishment from the world and the devil and stay there and keep serving God. And they're diamonds and rubies and precious stones. And God wants you to be one of them, you see. But the first thing you need is to be built on the foundation of Jesus Christ alone as your Savior. Have you trusted him? And once you trust him, you need to get into church, put on the uniform, commit, get baptized, and then join a church, and then stay faithful. And when you get hit, put it in the category of joy. This is going to work out for good. Have patience, remain under pressure, and don't run away, because this is going to mature you. But pray to God for wisdom, without being double-minded, and wait upon him until he gives you his guidance. Don't cave in to the pressures of people who will try to pressure you to do what they want you to do rather than what God said. He'll bless you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about